is from Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. You may be seated.
Good morning. Be turning in your Bibles to the book of Ruth. We'll be studying about Naomi this morning. And wonderful and encouraging time to honor our last leaders. Appreciate so much the effort of our kids and all those who work with them. You might have noticed that there was a UK symbol, and we're not trying to encourage one school over another, but the reason that was up there is because Ashley had worked so hard this weekend with the video and then made that slideshow with each individual child and their award this weekend, and so we used her computer this morning and to run it because it was all on there, and so we are thankful that she worked so hard. And also, someone that didn't get mentioned because he was thinking everybody else is Michael McDaniel and his wife Brandy. Last year we went to convention and it was kind of chaotic. I came back exhausted. It was like, took me a whole couple days to recover. And they set out to make it much smoother and much better. And man, they made the convention experience for us so much better this year by streamlining it and making it much much easier for us as a group. So we appreciate all their leadership and all the hard work that went into that. Happy Mother's Day. This year, we're thinking about the book of Ruth, and I wanted to study a character that I'd never done on Mother's Day specifically, and one that maybe we don't often think about because she was a mother-in-law to Ruth, and that is Naomi. Our young people learned the book of Ruth for our local Bible Bowl and also for the Last Leaders Bible Bowl. So they've been studying the book of Ruth a lot. I thought it'd be appropriate for us to study it this morning with that. When we think about Naomi, her life breaks down pretty naturally into the four chapters of Ruth. First of all, in chapter 1, you realize that Naomi is going to suffer because of love. So when we think about mothers, we think about the great amount of love that they show and about how love is not always simple and it's not always easily seen. But this morning when we study Naomi, we're going to notice that she is someone who's going to love through the hard times and through the good times. And that she suffered because of love. When you open up to the book of Ruth, you're immediately taken back by the opening few verses. Because in the opening few verses, you read about this family living in Bethlehem, the house of bread, by the way, and there's a famine in the house of bread. There's a famine in Bethlehem. So much so that the family had to leave and go to some enemies, to the land of Moab. And when they go to the land of Moab, Elimelech, which by the way, means my God is king. My God is king. So it was a devoutly religious man, at least had very religious parents. And when they go to this far off land of Moab, and they're sojourning there because there was a famine in the land, then we learn the tragic news that Elimelech dies. And after we read about his death, Naomi had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they marry Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. But after a 10-year period, both Mahlon and Chilion pass. And so here Naomi is living in Moab, and she has lost her husband. Some of you widows know how difficult that is. And now after some years have gone by, she loses her two children. Now, it means emotionally the same thing. But in a culture, it's much different today than that, than it was then. Because in the ancient culture, a woman was tied financially and socially very directly with a man. Her father, we would probably assume, has long passed. Her husband has passed, and now her two sons have passed. She is destitute, desperate, and in great need. And so she returns to her homeland. And her two daughter-in-laws go with her. And of course, it's in this context that we read about her encouraging them not to go. But here's the thing I want you to notice before we look at that in the latter part of Ruth chapter 1. I want you to consider how good mothers, and I would say all good mothers, are going to have a measure, and at different times in their life, a different measure of suffering, of sorrow. And I appreciated Joel's prayer in talking about how this is a happy Mother's Day for many. But for some, it's a difficult day and a very sad day. There's many mothers who are hurting when they think about their children. There are mothers who may be hurting spiritually because their children are unfaithful. There may be a mother hurting because, like Naomi, they have lost their husband and their two sons. In fact, we could say that good mothers suffer when they are raising their children. And we often think about the sacrifices and the suffering of mothers that they willingly do for the sake of their children. The point I'm trying to say is this: love, as mothers display love, is never easy. It is a sacrifice, and it involves denying themselves. And it, because they love, and because a mother loves so deeply, they also hurt deeply. And Naomi is someone who hurt deeply. In fact, she would even talk about her great hurt when she says in verses 19 through 21 that she's in great bitterness. She says, for example, "So the two of them went on, and they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, 'Is this Naomi?' And she said to them, 'Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty God has dealt very bitterly with me. For I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi, when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?'" Once again, it's all right if you're a mother that sometimes feels like Naomi. Like calamity has been brought upon you. Like you are bitter and you say, "Don't call me my name anymore, but call me Mara," which refers to bitterness. You see, suffering is connected with love. And as we think about the famous line from the poet, "'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all." And so moms often suffer because of love. But Naomi also illustrates how she was loyal because of love. In Ruth chapter 1, 6 through 18, she talks about how she was still loyal to her daughter-in-laws. In fact, she calls them in verse 13 her daughters. She viewed them as her own daughters, and she wanted the best for them. In fact, she encourages them to stay because she said she has no hope of producing a son for them. In fact, she says, "If I were to conceive and give birth to a son, you could not wait for that son to grow and to age and become a man." So she encourages these daughter-in-laws to go on and find them a husband. She wants what's best for them. She is loyal to her family. But in that famous passage that we read in weddings, but really it's spoken as a daughter-in-law to a mother-in-law, We see the loyalty that is there described in verses 16 through 18. When we read the message, it says, Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Notice the loyalty that is displayed between Ruth and Naomi. She said, "Your God would be my God." It shows the loyalty that Naomi had to her God. In chapter 2, 19 through 20, we see as well that she is loyal. And she speaks in this context about Boaz. And she has the idea that Boaz can serve as the kinsman redeemer. And what I want you to see here is that she is loyal to the law of God. She doesn't want Ruth just to go off with any young man or just to marry anybody. She wants her to realize that she can be taken care of by the law of Moses. And that Boaz can serve as a kinsman redeemer. Naomi was loyal. Good mothers, godly mothers, they're loyal. They're loyal to their children. They're faithful and loyal to their husbands. And they're loyal to God. I read a story from the One Word series. This is our One Word this week, mothers. And I wanted to read this story to you. And it's a very touching story from the death camps of Nazi Germany. Solomon Rosenberg tells the story about his mother. His parents, his wife, and his two sons were arrested and placed, or his wife, excuse me, tells this story, were arrested and they were placed in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. It was a labor camp, and as long as you could go out and perform your duties, you lived. But once you got to the point where you could not perform your daily work chores, then you were no longer useful to them and they would put you to death. And so Rosenberg watched his mother and his father being marched to their deaths when they became too weak to work. He knew that his younger son, David, would be next to die because David had always been a frail child. Every morning when Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor, he would search for the faces of his family. When he found them, he would huddle them together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back, and he did not see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his older son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled, and he was weeping and praying. And he goes to him and he says, "Joshua, tell me it is not true." Joshua turned and said, "It is true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." And Rosenberg said as the father, "But where is your mother?" "Oh, Papa," he explained, "when they came for David, he was afraid and he was crying. And Mama said, 'There is nothing to be afraid of, David.' And she took him by the hand and went with him." That is the loyalty of a godly mother. You see, a godly mother is loyal to their kids and to their husband and to their God. But notice Naomi also illustrates that she was instructive because of love. She was instructive. In chapter 3, we notice that Naomi is telling her In our culture, we would say, how to win this man. But in the ancient culture, she was telling him how to propose. And really, she was saying, I want you to go down to Boaz and ask for him to serve as a kinsman redeemer. Ask for him to take you in and marry you as the law of Moses instructed. And so in Ruth chapter 3, we read about these instructions. She says, beginning in verse 1, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? The man Boaz, our relative, with whose young women you were, see his winnowing barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not reveal yourself, do not make yourself known to him before he has finished eating and drinking. And when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go, uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And then this is our theme verse for last, the leaders. Verse number 5, she replied, all that you say, I will do. All that you say, I will do. Naomi told Ruth how to go about achieving the goal of marrying Boaz. To be provided for and protected for both Ruth and for Naomi, so that they would not have to be doing the work of a poor person and out just going and getting grain from Boaz and winnowing in the edges of the field. Notice she was instructive. When we think about godly mothers, they offer wise wisdom and instruction to their children. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 16, the Bible says, but as you continue in what you have learned and firmly believed in, knowing whom you have learned them from, that from a childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation in faith in Christ Jesus. How did Timothy know the sacred writings? Well, it was from his mother and his grandmother, as Paul tells us, that from a childhood he had learned about God. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. We must listen to our mothers. Godly mothers instruct. But why do they instruct? Why do they discipline? Why do they tell kids and even offer advice to their adult children? Why do they do these things? Because of love. Because they love. And so when we think about the story of Naomi, I want you to notice that she suffered because of love. She was loyal because of love. And she was instructive because of love. And thus, chapter 4, we notice that she was blessed because of love. You remember the lady that I started out telling you about? The one who said she did not want to be called by her name anymore because the Almighty had brought calamity upon her and she wanted to be called bitter. Well, in chapter 4, we've come to the end of our story. And now she can understand and look back and see the grace of God and the provision of God in giving and granting her so many blessings. And so in chapter 4, after Boaz and Ruth have been married, we read as the book comes to its conclusion these things. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception. And she bore a son. And the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life. Moms, your life is restored through love. And through the seeing of successive generations be blessed through you, this new son is a restorer of life. And notice, a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." Notice how Naomi has been blessed. I want to ask you a question. And of course, that leads to the significance of the book, that David is a descendant, and David is coming, the ultimate king, and in the lineage of Jesus. But here's the question I want you to think about. Would Naomi have had such a wonderful ending? Would she be blessed among the women? Would she be able to be nourished and restored by this new child if she had not have loved? You see, love is such a chief characteristic and aim of a mother. But what I want you to see is it's not just the emotional, the good feeling love that we often think about. But mother's love is often difficult. It often involves suffering. It often involves hard times. It often involves instruction. And it involves loyalty through difficult circumstances. But when we love like Naomi loved, we are blessed through and because of that love. This morning, if you're not a child of God, I want to give you the opportunity to become a child of God through repentance, confession, and baptism. The baptistry waters are prepared. If you need to rededicate your life, if you're a child of God but you need to come back to the Lord, we're going to sing a hymn to encourage you. If we can help you in any way, come as together we stand and as we sing.